I sense there's a lot of interest in the subject of man-to-man. About a month and a half ago, I was at Glen Eyrie and was asked to take an elective on the subject of how to make disciples by the man-to-man method. I was a little surprised at getting that kind of an opportunity and pleased at the same time. So I went in to talk with Rod for a little while. You know, you kind of do that sort of thing, see what he wants. And I had to confess to him that I had a problem. I had a problem with the topic, as a matter of fact. Frankly, I don't know how to make disciples by the man-to-man method. Now, I really wasn't trying to play word games, but I wasn't trying to be smart or anything, but it happens to be a conviction with me that I don't believe it's possible to raise up disciples by the man-to-man method alone. Now, if that makes some of you rest easier, why rest easier? In John 13:35, it talks about this matter of discipleship, and it says that by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love, not just between you and me, Jesus says, but between one another. So it's inherent within the definition of discipleship something more than the man-to-man method. Well, of course, Rod, being the gracious fellow that he is, he said, well, what would you like to call the topic? And I stumbled around for a while, and with Rod's help, we came up with the present topic, the place of man-to-man in disciple-making. Then, as close as I can tell, there must have been a short in the Xerox machine, because the topic was shifted from the afternoon to the morning, and about 4 hours later, the IBM repairman showed up, but apparently the schedules were already printed, and it was too late to repair the damage. So if you'll bear with me, and we'll pray a little bit now and then, and we haven't had prayer yet, I understand. We'll have prayer. Well, I'm sure we'll get through this all right. Before, when I first was, kind of asked to take the subject, I was panicked. Now I'm merely frightened to death. Shall we pray? And I'll ask somebody in the back row. Jake, would you lead us in prayer on this subject?
Lord God, because this is a thing that is much on your own heart, and because all of us, one degree or another, can help because someone touched by the Spirit of God spoke a word in season or shared a lesson or opened his heart or caught us in a weak or falling moment or helped us in some way. Because of the tremendous responsibility with which you've entrusted us. We pray for our brother Dean that you would give him freedom of speech, clarity of thought, and an openness to share his heart and make pertinent to his mind the numerous motivations that he has available. Help us to grasp this truth and to see our own true situation. How we can begin immediately to apply. We thank you that you're concerned much more than we are. And we rest in this in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Before you begin, I want to give a couple of suggestions. We're going to say the word man-to-man about a million times. So you're going to be writing it, and by the time you've got man-to-man written out, why, we'll be on the next point, and you'll miss it. So we'll give you an abbreviation. Just go. That's man to man. All right, you got that? That'll save you, according to my figuring, at least 3 minutes by the time you've written this again and again and again during this course of this time. Now, I want to encourage you about something also, and that's this, that what I have to say is not complicated. It's very simple. As a matter of fact, it's not even new. I'm just going to try to wrap it in a package so that it's understandable and so that you can begin to do what you've already experienced. Now, is that a deal? We'll try to see what we can do on that line. I want to give you a preview first, so don't start writing. I just want you to know where you're going, and then we'll start back up at the top of the page and work down. We're going to cover just, I think it's six maybe only five topics. We're going to cover the importance of man-to-man, different types of man-to-man, stages of Christian growth. I saw you writing. Who's writing there? Objectives for each stage of growth, the type of man-to-man that's most suitable to use at each stage of Christian growth, then cover a sort of a broad general topic, various methods of communicating truth, and finally, if we have time, the responsibility for disciple-making. All right, let's start back at the top, the importance of man-to-man. Actually, we'll not spend much time on that. I think that in a group such as this, we're pretty much convinced of the importance of it. In the Scriptures, man-to-man in the Scriptures is very prominent. Of course, you've heard Paul and Timothy, I suppose. Also, Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha. Perhaps you've considered Luke and Theophilus. And would you believe Deborah and Barak? It was interesting to me to note that in the Gospel of John, it records 39 occasions where Jesus spent time with one person or a select group of two or three, versus 20 occasions when he was with larger groups. Mark records 43 occasions with individuals or small groups, versus 30 with large groups or crowds. So we can see that throughout the Scriptures we have this emphasis on man-to-man. I think also practical experience shows us something of it. Human nature provides an example. God created the world, man and woman, told them to reproduce. And here it brings us to the very heart of man-to-man, the father-son relationship. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. Something else that I'd like to bring into focus along here that we've heard much of, this monkey see, monkey do thing, I'd like to just bring it in a new way. Famous English philosopher Edmund Burke, political philosopher, I think, of the 17th century, could be wrong on the date there, says, "Example is the school of mankind, and they will learn at no other." Example is the school of mankind, and they will learn at no other. Now this brings us to a concept that is very important when we consider the importance of man-to-man. In Matthew 9:38, we're told to pray that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now let's examine that momentarily. Laborers and the harvest, Matthew 9:38. Let's reason about this. Whose harvest is it? Well, it's the Lord's harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. Who sends forth these laborers into his harvest? The Lord sends forth laborers into his harvest. We have taken on ourselves in the Navigators not only responsibility to pray, but to do something about the raising up of these laborers. But nonetheless, in the last analysis, they are the Lord's laborers that he thrusts into his harvest. To say that a different way, we do not control in entirety where these people will go. Yet we're supposed to prepare them for some sort of harvest work, and just where and just what, we don't quite know. Now, how are we going to do this? How can we ensure that anywhere these kind of people go, that they will be able to be effective in that harvest? Well, I can think of one way. That is, they must be qualified at least to a certain minimum level that they can do this everywhere, every time. Now, the Marine Corps has a term for this, and you, all you good Marines will rise up and cheer and throw your hats in the air. Every man a basic rifleman. Yay! Good deal. I got all the Marines on my side now. Every man a basic rifleman. What does this concept mean? Well, it means that whether you're a corporal or a cook or a captain in the Marine Corps, you are still a basic rifleman. Everyone has been trained to handle a weapon. to aim it, clean it, fire it, take account for himself wherever he is. Whether he's a major or a master sergeant or machine gunner, he's a basic rifleman. Every man. Now, how can we do this? Well, the answer should be obvious. The least common denominator of disciple-making is this matter of man to man. So let's run down again. The importance of man to man, first of all, is seen in the scriptures. Secondly, we see it in practical experience. Because of the human nature, because of our father-son relationship, and because of the nature of man and just the way he's constructed, the way he's made up. He's a creature of habit. He will do as he has been done to. And because of the fact that God has chosen us to make laborers, if we keep these things in mind and we make a basic disciple and structure him so that he can understand and see how it was done to him, he can in fact do that everywhere, anytime. Let's go on to the next point. Types of man-to-man. Now here again, we'll kind of get an overview first. Don't start writing. I'm going to just list for you the types of man-to-man. You won't recognize these because I've just put names on the things that you're already doing. There are four basic types of man-to-man. The first of all is called fun and games man-to-man. The second one is casual man-to-man. The third one is structured man-to-man. And fourth is partnership man-to-man. Now, there's no particular priority or order or weight given to these. They just happen to be listed in this order. Fun and games, casual, structured, and partnership man-to-man. Let's start with fun and games. I like that. Fun and games man-to-man, Proverbs 17:22. Couldn't think of a better verse, so you'll have to do with that one. The purpose of fun and games man-to-man is identification and observation. Identification and observation. The person with whom we are meeting or has an opportunity by this kind of a casual, well, not casual, fun and games, light, social relationship, has opportunity to identify with us, and we with him. It works both ways. And on our part, we have an opportunity to eyeball the fellow when, you know, he's not really aware that he's being observed. The possibilities of this are obvious. We spent about an hour yesterday discussing some of these things, so I'll just mention a couple. The possibilities are sports, travel, meals, work, hobbies, this kind of thing. Man-to-man time. The second type. Casual man-to-man. The purpose of casual man-to-man is character building. Character building. I think that we can find its characteristics in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse. Let me read it for you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And you shall teach them, speaking of the words which God had commanded the people, and you shall teach them diligently to your children and to your neighbors, I suppose, and to your contact. You shall teach them diligently to them, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and you when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontless between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, in every area of your life, a natural outflow of the life, this matter of casual man-to-man. Purpose is character building, I said that. Some suggestions now. Most of you do this already. You've had a little walk around Glen Eyrie with John Crawford while you have shared in casual man-to-man. Sometimes it produces casualties, but but actually, it includes what you read into my words there. But it isn't primarily a matter of correction and rebuke. It can be a matter of sharing, as we'll see in a moment. Some suggestions for the effective use of casual man-to-man time. Number one, we find this is built into the system in the navigators. In Deuteronomy 6:6, it introduces the subject of casual man-to-man by saying, "And these words which I command you this day shall be on your heart." Scripture memory is probably the primary tool to equip us for this type of man-to-man. Secondly, matter of becoming effective in it, share the nuggets that God gives you. John 7:38, out of his belly shall fall forth rivers of living water. Share the nuggets. Third, pray together. Luke 22:32. Pray together. Number four, get a mental picture of the Christ-like ideal in your mind for comparison. I'll show you how that works. Put down the reference John 8:29. I'm sure you're familiar with that verse of conformity to Christ, being conformed to the image of Christ. So get a fix in your mind, a mental picture of what it is to be like Jesus Christ. And this will help you in knowing what to share. Yes. Romans 8:29. Now, how will this help? Well, it's sort of like the story of a little girl who was sitting on the floor cutting out pieces of paper, and her mother comes by and she says, "What are you doing?" And she says, "Well, I'm cutting out elephants." And her mother looks and she says, "Well, how do you cut out elephants?" She says, "Well, you just take the scissors and cut off everything that is an elephant." Well, this is what I mean by this. Have a mental image. And then as you take the fellow that you're ministering to and you kind of compare him with the image, and the part that kind of lops over out of the Christ-like image, why, you trim it off or help him with it, you see? Point five. Get the facts. Get the facts. Proverbs 18:17. Be sure you're helping him with the right problem. In this particular verse it says, "He who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." Ask some questions, get to the root of things, and then help him with it. Six, speak the truth in love. Two parts to that. Speak the truth in love. Don't hedge. Say it straight, but do it in love. Proverbs 16:6. Ephesians 4:15. Then the last point, begin with yourself. I remember some years ago that I was worried about this thing. I couldn't seem to see people's problems. How can I help them with their problems if I can't see them? So I began to pray about that. It's the only thing I thought could think of to do. Lord, give me discernment to see other people's problems. And as I was reading through the scriptures, I came upon an answer to that problem, my problem. And this was the answer. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Matthew 7:2. I said, how about that? So I've been pulling out logs ever since. And it helps. And especially on a cold winter's night, plenty to burn. All right, we have finished fun and games man-to-man, casual man-to-man. We're going to go to structured man-to-man. How many of you have ever heard of the bridge illustration? You probably have heard of that. Well, structured man is something like you learned the bridge. This is one of the types of structured man-to-man. Somebody communicated that to you, and they probably talked to you about evangelism. And then you became interested in evangelism because of many things, I suppose. Maybe you saw them doing it, and then you kind of wanted to do that. And so someone sat down with you, and they gave you this illustration, or you saw it demonstrated. Then sooner or later, they said, well, why don't you learn that? And so you thought, well, that's a good idea. I'll learn that. And then pretty soon you said, well, have you learned it? And the guy came, and he checked you out. You maybe practiced on him or somebody else. It's kind of a structured situation. This is one way, or one form of what you might call the structured man-to-man. Now, don't be frightened about this word structured. 1 Corinthians 4:17 talks about Paul and Timothy, and apparently the situation there was very structured. Paul commends Timothy to the Corinthian church, and he says, "This man Timothy, you know him, and I'm confident that when I send him to you, why, he'll teach you the same things I would teach you, just like I teach everywhere in every place." Kind of he had a pattern to the way he taught from church to church. And then in 2 Timothy 1:13, is another incident of this very type structuring. And this is very tight here. Paul tells Timothy to follow the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He told him not only to follow the generalized truth that he was trying to communicate, but he told him right down to keeping the words in order. Keep the pattern straight. Don't be afraid of this matter of structure. You don't have to do it all the time. We'll discuss how we can do these things in various ways and make it flexible, but don't just be frightened of the thing for itself's sake. Structured man-to-man. The purpose of it, basically, is foundation laying. Foundation laying. Foundation laying in two senses. First, relationship to Christ. Or orientation to Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:10 and 11. And secondly, foundation laying with regard to reproduction. That you give this person a pattern that he can reproduce at a later date. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 through 8. Paul was there only, from all I've been able to tell, only about 3 weeks in Thessalonica, and yet after that time they were able to spread abroad their faith in such a way that Paul said he didn't have to go back there. Purpose, then characteristics of structured man-to-man. Three things, the characteristics of this type of thing. It should be basic or simple, not exhaustive. When you're communicating on that level, you don't want to have every verse in the Bible on faith or something like that. You want to get about 3 or 4 verses on the Bible, just in the key ones. Keep it simple. Give a fellow room to grow. Secondly, it should be pass-onable. Three, there should be feedback, especially in the basics. Those are the characteristics. Then as far as the content of structured man-to-man, we'll take some examples in detail a little bit later. I'll give you some actual things to look at. But the content should be of three types. Illustrations, at least three types, maybe more. Illustrations, short passages, and principles. For example, illustration, the wheel, the hand, the bridge, this type of thing. Short passages. Scotty shared with us a short passage the other night, something like that, about 6 verses long, and, you know, just share the word. And principles. How many of you have ever heard Sandy's message on Shamgar? Yeah, well, most everybody has. This is what I mean. It's just one verse long there, but he draws out of this little thing on Shamgar, he draws a bunch of principles. And everybody remembers Shamgar. And you remember the principles of Shamgar. Because it's in a neat, pass-onable package. I don't have this, I didn't put this in my outline, but I just thought of it just recently. Something that's been a help to me. This fits in every relationship of these first three types of man-to-man. People do not do what you expect, they do what you inspect. People do not do what you expect, they do what you inspect. If that doesn't imply checkup in your mind, there's something the matter with your mind. Then the fourth type of man-to-man is partnership man-to-man. Philippians 2:25, where Paul talks about, is it Epaphroditus there, and he says he's, apparently Paul had led him to Christ at one time and probably helped him, and then finally he became a companion and fellow laborer and fellow soldier. He is a partnership. Now, let me illustrate this. This is the kind of man-to-man that Lauren Sandy was having with John Stott, kind of a bird-watching man-to-man, where they these things were characteristic of it. They shared prayer together, they shared their ministry together, they did Bible study together, and mutual counsel. Proverbs 20, verse 5. All right, that's it. That's the four basic types of man-to-man. Fun and games, casual, structured, and partnership. Let's pass on to stages of growth. Stages of growth in the Christian life. There's only one basic passage I want to consider on this, although there are other ones that we could tie in, but they get a little complicated. The passage is 1 John 2:12-14. Paul talks to the people there and he tells them why he's writing them. He says, I am writing you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his sake. I am writing you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. It's obvious here that there are three stages of growth. And we're going to treat these, put them up on the blackboard in just a moment. So it's three stages of growth. One, babes or children. You can just put the same passage for all of these and sort it out later if you'd like. I'm going to call that stage one so we don't get mixed up with Jack Mayhall's two phases here. These are not phases, these are stages. You have to kind of slip this thing, you know, really work with the language to keep from overlapping, and it's not easy to do sometimes. Stage one, babes or children. Stage two, young men. Stage three, fathers. Let's draw it up here. Let's remind ourselves what we're doing now. We're studying the topic of the place to man-to-man, a place of man-to-man in disciple-making. Now, there's a different place for man-to-man at different stages of growth. It shifts. It changes. Life isn't static. It's dynamic. Things evolve. The relationship of a father to a child changes from the time that he's a baby till when he's a child, till he's a teenager, till he's a young man, until he becomes a father. But he always has a father-son relationship. That doesn't change. I learned from Scotty the other day that a father does three things. He loves, I can only remember two of them. He loves, and he manages, and he trains. Good. Loves, trains, and manages, I think it is, his family. And he can do this at all stages. Okay, we've got a picture, and we want to plug in something else. Objectives. For each stage. Objectives for each stage. Get it down in your notes and then we'll put it on the board. The objective for babes. A. On my notes it's A. Vital fellowship with God. 1 John 1:7. B. Vital fellowship with Christians. 1 John 1:7. Objective for a young man. Controlled by the Word of God. This is in the passage we looked at in the first place. You're strong, the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Also in Colossians 3:16 gives the picture of that. Young men, controlled by the word of God, and be effectiveness in personal ministry. Objective for fathers. Accepted leadership. Joshua 4:14. And effective fathership. Philippians 2:20 through 22. Effective fathership. Philippians 2:20 through 22. Now, what do we mean by these last two? The others are fairly obvious and easy to see. Accepted leadership. It seems that there comes a time when all the things are going right. You can check in a fellow's life, and all the pieces are there, but there's still something missing. That was something like Joshua. Joshua had walked with Moses for years and years and years, and he knew how Moses did. But there came a time when something clicked, and I don't know what that something was, but in this verse it says, "On that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life." Accepted leadership. That perhaps after you've demonstrated over a period of time, there comes a note of conviction or something into a person's life. Or God gives a promise, and it just makes a difference, and people respond to your leadership. That's what we mean. And that's an objective in this stage for fathers. And then effective fathership. Not just someone who produces sons, but who knows the art of training and loving and managing sons. Accepted or effective fathership. Now you can draw, if you have a figure here, you can kind of draw it in like this.
Two categories. Word, personal ministry.
All right, now we've got these concepts. They're simple, but we begin to pile them one on another. Let's review. We've talked about various types of man-to-man, four different types. Then we've talked about stages of growth. Then we've talked about objectives. The objective in the first part will be to establish someone in fellowship. So the objective changes. Now let's look, since we have these things to put together, now let's look what type of man-to-man would be most significant or most valuable at various stages of growth. Let's do it this way. I'm going to give you about 20 seconds. You look up there and you think, well, now, where will fun and games fit? Where will partnership man-to-man fit? Where does structured man-to-man fit? Where does casual man-to-man fit? If it were a smaller group, why, we'd kind of break up here and we'd just do some kind of brainstorming and see how it plugged in. But since it's such a large group, well, I'll just give you my impression and you can jot that down and think about it later. Stage one. The types of man-to-man that are probably most prominent would be fun and games man-to-man to establish identification and observe, and some kind of a structured man-to-man situation in order to lay foundation. For stage two, you'd have a balanced man-to-man program of the first three types, probably: casual, structured, and fun and games. And later on, during that middle stage, that young man stage of a person's life, as he came to maturity, he began some more of the partnership type man-to-man. Then in stage three, a person is a father. He has responsibilities. He's caring not only for his own needs and his own ministry, but he's overseeing the needs and ministry of others. What would you do then? Well, partnership man-to-man. That's probably the obvious one. The next one might not be as obvious. Maybe some fun and games man-to-man, but for a different purpose now, not to establish identification and observe so much, but now for relaxation. The fellow's under pressure. He may need the relaxation. And then probably some casual man-to-man. He doesn't need to be shot down every day, for a drill. He's got other burdens to bear. You might need the casual where you come along and just, come alongside and share a nugget. Boy, that might be great in terms of casual man-to-man. All right? Is that clear? Well, we won't bother to plug it in, but I trust you've got it on the paper, and you can see how these things change and how they fit. Now, we're going to leave the man-to-man situation as such. Some of these things... All of these things apply to man-to-man. They also apply to groups and teams, and so it's broader than this. And we're going to talk about this methods of communicating truth. Methods of communicating truth. And we'll have a breather. There are only three. Cheer up. But there are a lot of sub-points. Let me give you the three things first. Example, teach, and discovery. For example, teaching and discovery. It would be the proper way to say it, I guess. Example, teaching, and discovery. Example, Matthew 4:19, Philippians 4:9. The strength of example is the life touch. I worked and worked on that, and I don't know how to say it better. But somehow it's the life touch. L-I-F-E, Walt. The weakness is that it doesn't guarantee application or understanding of the underlying factors. It doesn't guarantee application or an understanding of the underlying factors. The person may see the example, but he doesn't know how he got that way. Why does he do that? So if there's not some other sort of information available, he might misunderstand the situation. Second type, teaching, 1 Corinthians 4:17, which I teach everywhere in every church. The strength of this, that it's fast and efficient. That is, it's efficient in the sense of being accurate. Its strength is, it's fast and it's efficient. Its weakness is, particularly when it's used alone, is that people may become dependent on us. If everything they get is something they have to wait to get something from God by coming to us every time, while we've taught them to be kind of our little puppets. That's the weakness of this type. Thirdly, it's a matter of discovery. Matthew 13:44-46, where it talks about a person who found a pearl of great price in the field, and so went and sold everything he had because he found this pearl. So it's a matter of discovery. Most people remember that which they contribute in a discussion, not what they hear. And if they contribute a good thought, that's wonderful. The strength of this is it builds initiative and independence.
And its weakness is that it's slow, and perhaps it's discouraging for some people who are not the studious type or who are young in the faith. So obviously, the conclusion that we can take from these three types of communication is that a balanced approach is the best approach. Now, if you have room by teaching, you could kind of pencil in some other things of different types of teaching that you can use. Here's where tapes would come in. Here's where books would come in. Here, perhaps teammates and cross-training and training programs and a whole lot of things in terms of this teaching. It doesn't have to be by man-to-man method. Under discovery, or next to it, the various means that we have at our disposal for helping people to discover something from of God and from the Word of God are basic materials. We use them all the time. This is just part of the way we do things. Topical memory system. And the books, you know, the Bible study books. This type of thing. Helps people discover and feed themselves. Secondly, the study leaflets. These may be specially prepared, or they may be like the giving leaflet. How many of you have gotten the giving leaflets, you know? Want to teach giving? Well, that's one tool that you can use. Just plunk it there. From time to time at conferences, I've noticed that there may be a special theme, and so someone will prepare a little Bible study on knowing the will of God. And so keep one, and maybe get it duplicated off, and when somebody says, "How do I know the will of God?" He says, "Ha, ha, ha." You're all set. Other thing, research projects. We've got two fellows in the Philippines that I've given a research project, both in Proverbs. You had them buy a nickel book of Proverbs. One fellow keeps, he shoots off his mouth all the time and keeps people fired up. And his name's Boney. So I gave Boney a little project in Proverbs that read and kind of analyze all the verses on the tongue in the book of Proverbs. Another fellow named Ephraim is lazy, doesn't like to work. So I gave him, guess what? The book of Proverbs. A nickel copy to read and underline all the verses on sloth and work. Come to think of it, this Boney and Ephraim slothful, kind of a clod, and we might call it Boney and Clod, you know. That had a slow fuse if you didn't get it on. Oh, he just got it on. Oh, well, back to work then. After research projects would be guided experience. Thanks to Jack for the terminology on this. I had it all goofed up, Jack, but thank you. And this can be either simulated or actual. You figure that guy needs experience in something, and so you just go out there and have some experience in witnessing in a dormitory or a dorm meeting or something like that. Or it can be simulated. I'll never forget the time in the living room of Leela Elliott Sparks' nurse's home in Los Angeles, where Sandy turned around. There were about 17 or 18 of us there, and he said, "Well, tonight we're going to do something about witnessing." He says, "Gene, why don't you witness to him? This guy is a," and he described what kind of a guy he was, and there I was. Not a thought in my head. And so I had to go over there and witness to that guy. I remember the conversation intimately. Guided experience. And I think we critiqued it, you know, kind of worked it over. And then fifthly, exploratory discussion. There are some people that this works with, others doesn't. But sometimes a couple of guys can get together on a topic and they can bounce ideas off one another and discover that together, that which they never would discover independently. Exploratory discussion.